For great-looking t-shirts, hoodies, and sweatshirts, the TNT Shop is now open at tntradio.live. You're listening to Mind Medicine. Mind Medicine. Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the second part of the program, the Mind Medicine program. I'm Charles Coves, Australasia's passion provocateur. It's great to have you with us. This show is all about how and why mind matters. It gives you ideas to provoke new ways about thinking about your life and life generally. It gives you insights into mental health issues and health issues of all descriptions. And this show is brought to you in association with Mind Medicine Australia. In the first part of the program, I talked about some elements of Mind Medicine Australia, but I really want you, if you're listening to a recording on this or you missed the first half, I'm dearly love you to understand what Mind Medicine, this wonderful Australian charity, is all about. It's Australia's leading not-for-profit organization working on the use of medicinal psilocybin and MDMA-assisted therapies to treat a range of mental illnesses. And our guest in this hour, Gareth Andrews, is going to have some views on the state of mental well health, ill health. We'll talk about that. Mind Medicine Australia has recently commenced the first ever certificate in psychedelic therapies in the Southern Hemisphere. The world-class faculty includes Dr. Gábor Máté from Canada, originally from Hungary, Professor David Nutt, and Dr. Rick Doblin. And he's training psychiatrists, GPs, physicians, and other specialists, nurses, psychologists, psychotherapists, and many different health professionals. It's clearly one of the world's best psychedelic therapist training programs, and graduates are raving about what they're getting from the program. Recently, Australia's TGA has started granting approvals through the special access scheme for psilocybin and MDMA-assisted therapies for patients on a case-by-case basis. However, the rescheduling applications for these medicines from Schedule 9, prohibited, to Schedule 8, controlled medicines, are being blocked by vested interests, and your help is needed to lodge submissions supporting these effective therapies. Over the last 4 years, Mind Medicine Australia has built awareness by presenting information and education to governments, regulators, politicians, medical professionals, and members of the public. It has also provided free access to leading researchers through a regular global webinar and podcast series. It's launched Australia's first book of psychedelic healing stories, organized a major international summit with leading researchers, developed professional development programs, collaborated on the establishment of a Centre of Excellence in Psychedelic-Assisted Therapies at Monash University, the first in Australia, successfully lobbied the federal government to provide $15 million of grant for psychedelic research, developed a campaign to have these medicines rescheduled, secured medicine supplies, and commenced the largest psychedelic-assisted therapy trial in Australia. The recent pandemic has exacerbated Australia's mental health epidemic, and these treatments have the potential to cure millions of people who are suffering. Please visit the website mindmedicineaustralia.org.au and spread the word. Your family and friends need these solutions to their health challenges, and they're doing some wonderful work. Your help is needed. Please check it out. Now, I'll give you help on this program by inspiring you and motivating you also to pursue your passion. And since I'm Australasia's passion provocateur, that's the work I've been doing for 29 years. And I assure you, it makes a massive difference to how you experience life. This gift that we have of life, it goes so quickly. And if you are able to discover your passion, then, you know, how you feel about how you picture your reality changes dramatically. If you don't know what your passion is, then your job is to find that. Now, before I formally introduce Gareth Andrews, I want to just make a couple of comments about what's happening in the world. I talked about the Victorian elections coming up in the next 3 weeks, that the current Premier Daniel Andrews and his government is the most corrupt, inept, and improper criminal, many criminal activities happening. And I just can't believe that people people could vote for this man who is borrowing money like a drunken sailor. And if drunken sailors are upset about this, then so be it. Spending money like a drunken sailor. Our debt in this state is heading towards more than $162 billion. Just ridiculous. Yeah, politicians can spend anything. Easy to do infrastructure. Don't worry about who's going to pay for the debt. Andrews will be long gone. I just hope he goes quicker than ever. Listening to the news then on interest rates, you know, the challenges that we're facing, and people who thought that interest rates would always stay low in terms of your thinking about business, you know, this is up and down. And then it also reminds me of the financial manipulation that's going on. I urge all of you, dear listeners, to learn about finances. There are some wonderful programs around. If you don't learn about this stuff, the experts will play you, and you will not be in charge of your life. And then you'll you run out of money because you don't know how to manage it well. Schools do not give great education around finance. And I know Robert Kiyosaki, and he wrote a book. I did many programs with Kiyosaki, and he wrote a book, If You Want to Be Rich and Happy, Don't Go to School. And it's a salutary lesson in terms of needing to understand finances. And, you know, one of the issues that I want to urge you to do is to use cash. Don't use your credit card for every single purchase. We need more cash circulating in our system, and governments, they want to remove cash from our society so that they can track what you're doing. If you're interested in freedom, which is what this radio station is about, then don't be trapped into the sole digital economy. And lots of other things to talk about, but I want to get into our guest, Gareth Andrews. But I do urge you, and, you know, as a listener to TNT Radio, you are someone who's clearly willing to do your own thinking. This is a great station. It's committed to freedom. It's committed to truth, and it's committed to justice. And if you're new to this station, you will get great value from listening to us. So the Mind Medicine program is delighted to welcome Gareth Andrews. Now, Dr. Anne Quinn, our previous guest, I have known for some years, and Gareth Andrews I've known for even more than some years. He is a superstar in the impact that he is making on society. Let me go through he was a former VFL, Victorian Football League, AFL footballer at the highest level. He was a premiership player. I'll get to that in a moment. But in 2013, he founded the Life Again Foundation. So that's 9 years ago. It's a not-for-profit initiative that is empowering men, and I'm a man, and Gareth is a man, and if you're not a man, you must be a woman, empowering men to make positive adjustments during challenging times of change in their lives, as well as running programs connecting Indigenous men in Central Australia with men from the cities. A wonderful, wonderful initiative. He was chairman of the Victorian Division of the Lords Taverners for 3 years, a charitable association supporting Indigenous, disadvantaged, deaf and blind young people to play cricket. He was on the CASA, the Committee of Management, an organisation of dedicated professionals who work with people at their most vulnerable. He's been involved on the board of Project Rosanna, an Australian-inspired multi-faith initiative that's raising funds for the treatment of critically ill Palestinian children from the West Bank and Gaza at Jerusalem's Hadassah Hospital. He is an advisory panel member on Winning Not Wellbeing. He is an executive team member of Global Reconciliation, an initiative of RMIT University and Monash University, promoting reconciliation by fostering dialogue. He's also a trustee of the AFL Players Association Trust, and a director of the AFL Players Association Injury and Hardship Fund. And then, he played Australian rules football at the highest level for 10 years, won a premiership with Richmond. He was a commentator and analyst with the ABC Radio, Television and Radio from 1980 to 89. He's a football journalist for the Sunday Age and a vice president of the Geelong Football Club from 1980. 1999 to 2014, 15 years, during which time the club won three premierships in 07, 09, 11, and not having won a premiership since 1963. So 1962, my team Essendon won, and 1965, my team Essendon won. Geelong won in 63, and the next one it won was 2007, and Gareth played a crucial role in helping that club rebuild its whole success ratio. It's been by far the most successful AFL club, and the foundation that Gareth laid there is a crucial element. He's a life member of the AFL, the AFL Players Association, Geelong Football Club, Richmond Football Club. And his business career, let me tell you about that, because he's doing all this other charity work. Who's got time for business? He pursued many business interests, including executive health and fitness, importation, distribution of fitness equipment, and then in the property sector, ran a number of companies, and was involved in school foundations. Wow, Gareth, I'm worn out. Welcome to the Mind Medicine Program. What an amazing story.
Thanks very much, Charles. Charles, you read it all out. Thank you. It's really great to see you. 29 years, and to think I knew you as a lawyer. And one of the things I've always admired about you, Charles, listeners may not know this, is that you were a partner in a major Melbourne legal firm back in the day, and you were successful. You were making good money, had the wife, the kids, the package, and you took one of the great leaps of faith. And something that I still admire you for, and I love it when I see people changing their lives because they see something they're really passionate about. And I think I think the next generation and the generations coming through are going to be much better at following their passion. They take much shorter term views of life, because you know we were brought up by fathers and families who were the expectations were that you're going to go to university or you're going to get a job and you'd stay in that job for the rest of your life, and at the end of it you'd get a gold watch or whatever it might be. But you were very brave, and I saw the accommodation you ended up living in post your career, and the risks you took in becoming the passion provocateur. I mean, it was just it was an amazing journey. Well done.
Thank you. It's very kind of you. It was risky, very risky. I was earning big bucks. So to give people an idea, I was earning 250 grand a year back in 1993, Gareth, and I've worked out that's about $2 million a year in today's terms, and I gave that all away, not to earn more money, but as you kindly point out, I just saw that this was more important. There are plenty of lawyers, but there weren't many passion provocateurs, and you know, that's an interesting insight that you have, that younger people these days are more willing to pursue their passion. So thank you for that. Now, Gareth, life again. Let's start there, which is taking up a big part of your life and is doing some amazing, amazing work. What drove you to establish that in 2013?
So I was always trying to find my passion. You know, I am a passionate person still. And I was always I headed off in the wrong direction. I went to university and did commerce. And really, I would much rather have been doing charitable work or being a writer or being a journalist. If you really ask me, back when I was playing football, I would have played football until I died, because it was just, I loved it. I loved the game. I loved the people in the game. I loved the thrill of it. And I could play it. So that helped. And then I got into a midlife change the midlife story is a real story. That it's part of who we are. It's part of, many animals have the same midlife experience. So just take men, for example, and just change our dialogue isn't just about men either now, Charles, because you really got to allow for not just men, and women have struggled through life in a different way to men. It's just that women at least have each other to talk to about it, whereas men don't talk to each other. Women are terrific at their women talk face to face, men walk side by side. Men never look at each other in the eyes, whereas women do. But so I'd struggled through various career changes trying to find what really suited me. And when I was 55, so we're talking 20-odd years ago, I hit the wall. And I had a serious depression in 2001. And I always remember, and they say things happen, you know, if you're going to have a bad day, it usually happens on Christmas Day because of so much joy, supposedly. And that was the day I crashed and burnt on Christmas Day.
Wow. Gareth, hold that thought. I want to unpack that because I so honour, that's one of the things I love about you, your willingness to speak about this challenge of hitting the wall. And, you know, the Mind Medicine program is part about that. But we've got to go to a short ad break that you well understand. Yep. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. You're on the Mind Medicine program. I'm Charles Coves, and my guest in this hour is Gareth Andrews, superstar footballer and wonderful contributor to all sorts of charities, including Life Again. We'll be back shortly.
You should hear what Hervoy Morich is talking about.
Shanghai Disney has become the latest high-profile venue to shut its gates thanks to China's strict zero COVID policy, trapping visitors inside. People have been told they will not be allowed out of the theme park until they can show a negative test. Hotel California by the Eagles. You know, you can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave. And Halloween, of all, it's really like the perfect setting for a dystopian horror film. Locked down, you cannot leave Disneyland in Shanghai on Halloween. It's absolutely insane. This COVID-1984 forever. The biomedical security state, it ain't going away.
Hervoy Morich on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
It's never a burden to fight for what's right. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Mind Medicine program. I'm Charles Coves, your host, and my guest this hour is Gareth Andrews, and he's telling us how he hit the wall at the age of 55, some 20 plus years ago at Christmas Day. Gareth, tell us about this issue of midlife crises.
Well, midlife crisis is a low point we reach, and in the main, most people come back from midlife crisis and go through a lot of change during a crisis as well. It doesn't mean to say you won't have bouts of whether it be depression, anxiety, or whatever for the rest of your life, because the nature of creative people. I read a wonderful book once, and I can't, something to do, it had blue in the heading, but it said 95% of creative people have depression, 5% of truck drivers have depression.
Wow. So wow.
It's, and I've sort of heard those. And so, it's, it's an interesting fact that the creative person goes always looking for the next high, because, you know, you want to do successful. Charles Crowvest wants to run successful radio programs now after he's been doing this for 30 years. And I'm sitting here looking at your graying hair. I know, and I've got to ask you, do you still think you're going to live to 120?
I absolutely do.
Okay.
And I'm committed to it, and I'm constantly looking for that edge to enable me to do so. Yes, I have no desire to. The thought of retirement is anathema.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to know that was still on your radar. But so I hit the wall, and one of the things I did when I hit the wall, I realized I wasn't alone. So serious full on clinical depression is awful. Is just horrible. It's you can't even. You know, a broken leg, you know you're going to get better. But one of the things with depression is you wonder whether you're going to get better. And you do have to put into place certain things to get better, whether that be including taking antidepressants, having good counselling, having good people around you, trying to get up out of bed as early as you can, go walking, eat well, give up grog, all that sort of stuff. You have to work really hard to get out of depression. But there was never a story out there in the year 2000. Now, and particularly, say, in the sporting world. And I had a story written in the Age newspaper here in Melbourne, a double pager. There was a double pager being written fortnightly called The Zone. And The Zone was an article on me coming out and admitting that I'd had depression. And that was as big a thing to be able to put my hand up. I had so many people say, I didn't know anything about it, Gareth. I can't believe that you, the footballer, the bloke with a deep voice and blah, 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 blah. What I got out of the whole thing, the episode itself, was I got better. Did I get perfectly better? Yes, I did. Am I always perfectly better? No. I go back into some forms of mood, but I do have the methods now to get me out of that place, because I know I can get out of that place. So Life Again, I established, was to help other people who were reaching the same stage as I'd reached. And that was, it's just happening to, it happens to men in particular, but, you know, in our 20s, we're young bucks ready to go, take on the world, and win at all costs. And we're physically strong, we're mentally strong, and we're positive. I did two things in my football career. I took a year off in the middle of my football career to bum around the world.
Yeah, that was hugely risky.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
And came back and played football. And in a time when people didn't change clubs, I changed clubs to play in a premiership. So I went from Geelong to Richmond. I changed after round six in 1974. I was playing Geelong, doing well. I wanted to go to Richmond. I went to Richmond. I played in the premiership about 4 months later, because I just took the risk, and it was the risk paid off. But then we get into this life where the expectations are higher. We meet a partner. We have families. We buy houses, we take on mortgages, we have to have careers. And I'm saying have to. Society dictated it differently back in the time. And that's where, again, I admired what you did, much younger than I did for change. So Life Again was all based around taking up that challenge, knowing that you're not alone, and we do work. We're not qualified as, we don't have medical qualifications, but like you, we have life qualifications. And a lot of my work is done on public speaking, writing stuff. I still get stuff published in the daily newspapers, and the work we do in the outback is really a wonderful way of men connecting with each other, because number one, they go out on country and connect with each other. So men from companies and other organisations, but they also connect with Aboriginal Australians. And the connection between the white fellas and the black fellas is some of the most amazing experiences I've had. So it's been a joy. It's been a real joy for me to be in this area, as you know, Charles. One of the, in life again, our pillars are connection and connection with you, to yourself, and connection with others. So connection is sort of a critical way of the most important thing we can do in life. It's all about people. But also, and that's, we use connection also with Indigenous people and connection with nature. So we don't just talk about the, you know, the normal ways of connecting. But a big one is giving back, the power of giving back. And it's not just talking about giving back, it's actually doing it. And a lot of people give back without realising that they are. You know, whether they're working, helping the school and the kids' school on doing garden days or whatever it might be, running fairs and fetes. And people do a lot of work without feeling that it counts. So people should recognise that they should get, you know, there are lots of things they do where they need to appreciate that they are being appreciated. So it's connection, giving back, and storytelling. And I found the biggest thing about storytelling is that when you're telling your story, everyone's story is different.
Yes, yeah, stories stick. It's a beautiful mantra, and you're a professional speaker and I'm a professional speaker. Telling a story sticks. We always remember stories. We don't remember data, but we remember story. Now tell us, give us a sense of what a life, you know, if someone says, I want to do one of these connection experiences, how do you do that?
Well, there, you get in touch with Life Again through our website.
Which is, I think, lifeagain.org, isn't it?
.org.au.
.org.au. Thank you. Yeah. Yep.
And go on. The programs, those programs were all run by a fellow called Nick Collum. Nick Collum, spelled C-O-L-U-M-B. And Nick had a very famous father, Nick Collum. Well, Nick is Nick Collum Jr., is his son, and he's done psych training. He's not a qualified psych, but he's done training 8 to 10 years ago, and he's done a lot of programs with men over the years anyway, and he's just been a wonderful asset to our foundation. He's about half my age, and so he meets, you know, Life Again was actually set up for men going through, men in that period of about, say, 35 to 55. Now, but you can take out of Life Again what fits you, because the story's different. You know, we our behaviours are different at different ages, but a lot of our the actions we take are similar. So, and Nick's a terrific addition to our foundation. Interestingly enough, just to one of the exciting things, one of our board members over the last 3 years is Professor Barry Judd. And Professor Barry Judd is the head of Indigenous Studies at Melbourne University, and one of Australia's leading academics, Indigenous academics. So to have him on our foundation has been a terrific, he's a terrific asset to the work that we do.
So Gareth, unpack this connection between black fellas and white fellas, because we have some challenges in our society. There's going to be a proposal by the government, by the federal government, to change the constitution for a voice. So let's not go there for the moment. I don't want to talk about that. I know plenty of Indigenous Australians, and I'm you said something very intriguing, you know, some magic happens when white fellas and black fellas connect. I love that idea. Tell us, you know, it's just some stuff that you've seen. Tell us some stories.
Yeah, the stories on my, I'll tell you my first story is that when I started playing football with Geelong in 1965, my captain was a fellow called Polly Farmer. And Polly Farmer was one of football's AFL's VFL back in the days, legends of the game, and you know, still regarded as, he's got a freeway in Perth named after him, the Graham Farmer Freeway. And he was a magnificent Aboriginal man. And I was number six and he was number five, so we shared lockers. And he was 10 years my elder. But I knew nothing about him. I knew the colour of his skin because we stripped, and changed together. But I knew nothing about Indigenous Australians, Aboriginals. The biggest thing about, I think the Aboriginals have come a long way. When you look at people, Aboriginals now, through in law, in court, in medicine, in academia, radio and television, Stan Grants, they're doing wonderful stuff, and there's only we're getting close to having a million Aboriginals in Australia, representing about 4% of the population.
That would be right. Yes, 1 million out of 26 million.
Yeah. So there it sits. But the interesting thing, and Noel Pearson said in the ABC on the ABC last weekend, in the one of the Boyer lectures, I think it's the Boyer lectures, that one, Australia are a racist nation, and the racism is towards Aboriginal Australians. And so we've come a long way, but we haven't come a long way. And one of the stories that I do tell through working with Aboriginals, what they want us to do is come on country, because Aboriginals, country is what life is all about. It's their land. We don't own the land. The land is there for us. So I'm really absolutely determined to push through on this and beat this drum, because unless people go out on country, and you can go out, I live in Port Melbourne. Now, Port Melbourne has got lots of billabongs and areas around Port Melbourne, which were and are traditional Aboriginal lands. And they, when you can imagine that they lived here and there were kangaroos on this place. Melburnians can go out to Corindurk country, and which is Healesville. And one of the most powerful sights to be seen there is the little grave. And that's the grave where William Barrack, who was the famous Aboriginals who pushed the Aboriginals rights back in the 1800s, and that's where he's buried. And some of the stories, so you don't have to go to the outback, you don't have to go to Central Australia, you don't have to go to Arnhem Land, you can go to Melbourne, you can go to Healesville, or you can go to Shepparton, or you can go, we take people out to the western part of Victoria, and back in that magnificent country out there where the Budge Bim people are, where it's World Heritage sites, the fishing nets that the Aboriginals developed back in those days. I get really passionate about Indigenous Australia because most people don't actually understand, and that's not their fault. They haven't been taught at school, and that's starting to happen. So things are happening, but you know, one of the things of the million Aboriginals, a third of them are some of the poorest and worst off Australians people, and they're not being looked after, and they do live in, you know, difficult conditions, the outback.
So with your expertise, has the government approached you to help give government good advice?
The government, look, we haven't approached government in the right way, to be fair. The size of the Indigenous thing's really sort of creeping up on us, but we've been fine tuning our story. To be quite honest, the hardest thing for the not-for-profit area, people like Life Again, was COVID. The 2 years of COVID in a not-for-profit were a total disaster. And so you weren't going to get money. I can remember the federal government at one stage they said, oh, mental health is a big issue. We've just put $20 million into mental health. $10 million went to Beyond Blue and $10 million to Lifeline. That was a $20 million. Whereas the people who are actually running programs and taking the story out got nothing. And that's the sort of thing is that it's easy to throw money at some of these problems, but the problems are people problems. And that's why I like this whole area of people to people, you know, putting a black fella and a white fella. And it's the black fellas who say, we like being called black. It's not the colour of our skin. It's the colour of our blood. And taste, you know, when I say, when I say, you know, black fellas to a lot of, you know, sort of a lot of the people who hate that word because they're, you know, they're righteous about, you can't say that black. I say, well, my Aboriginal mates, and when I tell them the story that it's not the colour of their skin, because some blokes, you would walk past an Aboriginal in the city and not know he's an Aboriginal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, French Aboriginal grandmother and grandfather from Scotland or Ireland or wherever. And when you consider it, a lot of the names are very Anglified names, their surnames and Christian names. So it's just that people don't understand, and it's only when you go out and see the history and see the history of the wars, you know, on country, and you say, oh, gee whiz, I hadn't realised that these people were just absolutely trashed down in the Western District, you know, families and communities by the white fellas. It's quite remarkable when you get into it. And it's then that you understand. It's then that you understand. Because we get a lot of information fed to us on Aboriginal stuff, and most people ignore it because they actually don't understand it. And I understand them not understanding it. They don't understand what the voice to Parliament is. They don't understand what the Uluru Statement is because they haven't gone to Uluru and sat down and talked to Aboriginals and found out what you know what it really means.
So I want to. We're going to have to go to a break in a moment, Gareth. But I'm very interested in what you would love to see happening, because I and many Australians look at the money that's thrown at the supporting Aboriginals in Australia, but it doesn't seem it's remarkable amounts of money. So I'm really interested in your views. That's why I think government should be consulting you, but we'll come back to that. You're on the Mind Medicine program. I'm Charles Coves. My guest is Gareth Andrews, former footballer and currently founder, executive director of Life Again, doing amazing stuff for men. We'll be back after these messages.
De-weaponizing weather
with reality and perspective.
Well, John Kerry wants us all here in the United States on zero emission electric vehicles by 2035. First of all, when it comes to electric vehicles, and I have nothing against electric vehicles, I really don't, except for the fact, don't let it deceive you. They pollute just as much, except the pollution is moved. For instance, you have to mine all the cobalt. You have to mine the lithium. You have to create the batteries. That takes a lot of energy. In fact, China is just happily building coal plants so they can have the energy to help us create these batteries that we need for our cars. But in the meantime, no one wants to answer the question. If you put 50 million electric vehicles online, where's that energy coming from? This is meteorologist Joe Bastardi for TNT, your global weather and climate watchdog, asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Ukrainian President Zelensky is among five people named as recipients of the John F. Kennedy Profile in Courage Award for acting to protect democracy. President Zelensky was chosen because he has marshaled the spirit, patriotism, and untiring sacrifice of the Ukrainian people in a life or death fight for their country. The John F. Kennedy Library Foundation said, in response, journalist Gonzalo Lira asked, so when you shut down opposition news channels, persecute journalists critical of you, imprison your political opponents, and in some cases have them murdered, that's defending democracy.
A cashless society means zero cash. 100% digital currency means your life is 100% dependent on a power surge and the internet. Every cent you receive will be recorded and every transaction tracked. Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Mind Medicine Program. I'm Charles Coves, your host. I'm with the wonderful Gareth Andrews, the founder and executive director of Life Again, former champion footballer, businessman, all sorts of other things. Now, Gareth, before the break, you talked about understanding, and then you've registered a trademark. Can you tell us about that, please?
This trademark came from our work with Aboriginals, but it also fits very well with the whole Life Again story. We registered the words "no change without understanding," and people absolutely, particularly, you know, the people, some of the executives we're dealing with in companies really like the concept of no change without understanding. And it fits perfectly into the Aboriginal model that I was referring to before the news, is that unless you get out on country, you nothing's going to change. You know, I'm a bit like you. I still seek, I love learning. I love really digging deep. And we've all got it, and particularly when the question comes up about the voice to Parliament, and do you say yes or do you say no, or do you not even know what you're talking about? In the main, it will be, I do not know what I'm talking about. It just depends on what paper I read or what media I read. And I think this is an important time for voters as much as any political election. It's an important time to absolutely understand what it means. You know, our constitution is a funny old thing that was made by old white fellas back in the end of the start of this last century, and there was not one woman involved in that in the establishment of that constitution. There was not one Indigenous person in it. And when you go back and to change it, is a very difficult and it's a different world we live in, and it's the same thing we will have to face when we have to look at whether we want a republic. Australians become a republic. We've got
No change without understanding. I love it as a as a trademark. So come to this question then of, with all of your knowledge and government throwing a lot of money to Aboriginal communities, and just Senator Jacinta Price, you know, she says that money does not trickle down, you know, and she's scathing about that. That's another conversation. What would you like? What advice would you give to government? Say, hey, here's the first big step that we should be taking in this country. Don't go to the voice of the constitutional change. What should this money be used for? What's your sense of that?
It's almost an impossible question to answer, because I'm so focused on, I reckon the solution is people to people. It's not money. You know, we keep throwing thousands. When I go into the outback and I'm there usually, you know, three or four times a year during the winter months, our winter months, it's too hot in summer. There are so many Toyotas, white Toyotas driven by white fellas, crisscrossing the outback, all on huge salaries, they've got a job, but the jobs all sort of crisscross across each other. And there's a lot of talking done, but there's not a lot of doing done. And I think a lot of it comes back to people actually doing something. And that's why I like the concept of people to people. So it's well-paid public servants, stay out there for a couple of years, get amazing tax breaks and come back, and they haven't added anything. Every one of those people costs a lot of money. So that's why I hate hearing that we're going to be spending X number of billions. And Jacinta Price is absolutely right. That money doesn't trickle down to the blackfellas. They haven't risen. One of the things I really like, and the blackfellas, there's a lot of misunderstanding of them. A lot of my friends and blackfellas don't have alcohol. Do not drink alcohol, and they've sworn off it because they do it. They see their peoples and they know it does them no good at all. So a lot of the leaders, grog is a big issue, but it's not the issue. They more die through cigarettes than grog in Aboriginal communities. So we just keep, because we don't go out and sort of learn for ourselves, we keep on accepting what we're being told by the media, and social media has got a lot to blame in that some of the abuse, and you take the Adam Goods, I took Adam Goods 10, 12 years ago to, I took a group of Aboriginal footballers, including Adam Goods, to Sri Lanka. We travelled around Sri Lanka for 10 days because it was a program that I set up to, and I worked with the AFL Players Association getting it up and running, and it was all about connecting with people in a country, a broken country at the time. It still is. It's even worse now.
Yeah, correct. Correct.
It had gone through 30 years of civil war and a tsunami, and I wanted Aboriginals and Australians to feel that they're not alone here, that you can go to other countries where there's an Indigenous population in Sri Lanka who are a wonderful race and live out of the cities. And it was just a great experience. So it's all, for me, it's like I try to get people to understand better. So it's not about money. Money's failed. Money has failed the Aboriginals so far.
Yes. Yes, I see that, Gareth, and I think your guidance would be helpful here to our listeners, which there's no one source of truth around anything, but which Aboriginal expert do you recommend? If you say, hey, who's one who's talking a lot of sense? My sense is Noel Pearson seems to talk a lot of sense.
Noel Pearson is, he does. He's a very intelligent man. There's no doubt that Stan Grant is very eloquent, and I love Marcia Langton. She's a force to be reckoned with. I went to a function today, Charles, in Melbourne, and it was a story of Voice to Parliament, and it was on. It was a 1-hour thing put on by the Wheeler Centre.
Yep. Tony Wheeler, the founder of Planet. What was that book?
Yeah, Lonely Planet.
Lonely Planet. That's it. Yep.
He and his wife were the founders of created the Wheeler Centre, and it was a great session. And it was open to the public. It was like $15 a head, and that's just to open the doors of the Capitol Theatre, a lovely old theatre in Melbourne. And it was a great, you know, every time I just top up my learning by, and I've met Marcia Langton a couple of times, great friend with Barry Judd, who I mentioned earlier on, because they're both at Melbourne University. So, and they're the voices of.
No, that's good, Gareth. That's three, and I trust. You know, I'm very concerned, you know, about the left right dichotomy, I'm certainly a conservative. I'm a liberal. I'm not in favour of socialism. I'm in favour of freedom, and I know that you're in favour of freedom, and you're not what I'd call a lefty. And so your views on this, I think I want that balance, you know. And so thank you for that. Noel Pearson, Stan Grant, and Marcia Langton.
Jacinta Price, of course, is a
Jacinta. Yes.
Yeah.
I'd add Jacinta there. Excellent, everybody. There's four. Now, of course, if you're listening around the world, and, you know, particularly in America and the Canadian Indian tribes and the American Indian tribes, yep. You know, I look at the challenges of societies, and you'd mentioned Sri Lanka. So this is a big challenge for us now, but we're going to move on to another topic, Gareth, and you don't like me talking about mental health.
No.
Tell me your thinking on that.
Okay. So I've always found, so mental health is the word that is the go-to word in this space. But the word mental to a man is to a man of our era and is anything to do with mental is
you're mental.
Yeah, or one flew over the cuckoo's nest is what we immediately think of because they're a silent people. So men don't relate well to the word mental, and they don't relate well to the word depression. So they, if you ask a man if he's got a mental problem or if he's depressed, they'll deny it, they'll say no. And so I've always been in this space of preventive health rather than prescriptive. Now, prescriptive is beyond blue because they are in on that depression route because it's all based on depression. But depression is an illness, but we talk about, you know, we're more in the anxiety space. And so we don't bang on about mental health. We talk about, but we use the word mental, we talk about positive mental health. Because if you don't use the word mental, you won't get any of the hashtags. Mm. So if you want to talk in this space, you've got to be heard. And so people will. But so we talk about positive health, and we say when you get the first sign that things aren't right, they probably aren't right, and you do get anxious, and we don't want this to develop into depression. These are the things that you're going to do. And so that's why it's prevention rather than a prescriptive.
You came up, you shared a good question rather than going, are you okay? Because most men would go, yeah. What's the question that you recommend as a better one?
So the other one we have registered is feeling shithouse ?
Love it. Because everybody, go to a bloke and say, feeling shithouse?
Yeah, yeah. Or if you ask them, how are you feeling, rather than saying, are you depressed or are you mentally ill or what? So how are you feeling? And the bloke will just look at you and say, I'm just feeling shit house, Gareth. And then you say, okay, so why are you feeling shit house? And then you've started a conversation because then you open him up and he'll explain, oh, my wife's left, or the kids are driving me mad, I missed out on that career change I was going to have, not making enough money, we expected to have a holiday house, the kids can't go to private school. We understand all of it, and it's real. But it's important to know that you're not alone on the journey.
Yes, and then life again, you know, if women, and I'm not into the game of 27 different bloody genders, trust me, you're a man or a woman and I know precisely what the distinction is, but for women with their husbands,
yeah,
you know, do you get spouses, and we've only got a couple of minutes to go, do you get spouses ringing up Life Again and referring their husbands? I hope you do.
We always get a lot of people come to a lot of our events are women. If we go into the bush, if we go to a bush town, for example, out in Western Victoria or wherever it might be, where the local council and what invite me up there to speak to the community, I reckon out in the country I get about 50-50 men and women, because the men won't turn up, they're farmers and all of that, because they just and they're struggling. Their wives come because they want to know what's happening to their men. And it's out there that they actually take me into the area of suicide. And I'm in the area of preventive health, suicide is a step far too far for me. And it's just, but so Life Again is important to women, not only for themselves, but because of their love of their partners and they're wanting to see him find out what, unpack him, I suppose. You use the word unpacking. Just unpack my husband. And when I speak, they say, I see my husband just in exactly what Gareth, he's talking about my husband now.
Beautiful. Excellent advice, Gareth. We've got 1 minute to the top of the hour. They throw me off this radio station. Gareth, you know what it's like. You've spent years in the media. Thank you for joining us. Now, the website is lifeagain.org.au. So go and check that out. And no change without understanding.
And you go on one, you know, talk to friends. Go on one of our trips. We do 1 day, 3 days, 5 days. We can go anywhere.
Oh, good. Okay. So there's lots of different trips. Yeah, excellent. Yeah. Gareth Andrews, thanks for being with us. Thanks for listening to the Mind Medicine program. Share this recording with others who would benefit from these powerful messages. Gareth, congratulations on the contribution you've made. I look forward to having you on the show again. Have a great weekend, everybody.